नमः ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णा प्रेस्ताय भूतले श्रीमाते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चादेश तारने सो टुडे स्पेशल डे द डे श्रील प्रभुपाद अराइव्ड इन अमेरिका carry out the order of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati and fulfill the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to spread Krishna consciousness throughout the whole world, the universe. So today we're also reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 30, Text number 21, The Activities of the Prachetas. Maitreya uvacha evaṁ bruvānaṁ puruṣartha bhajanaṁ evaṁ bruvānaṁ puruṣartha bhajanaṁ janārdanaṁ Pranjalaya Prachetasaha Janardhanam Pranjalaya Prachetasaha Tadarshana Dvasta Tamo Rajo Mala Tadarshana dvastatamo rajo mala Giragrinan gadgadaya suhritamam Giragrinan gadgadaya suhritamam Maitreya uvacha evaṁ bruvānaṁ puruṣartha bhajanaṁ janārdanaṁ pranjalaya prachetasaha tadarshana dvasta tamo rajo mala Giragrinan gadgadaya suhritamam evaṁ bruvānaṁ puruṣartha bhajanaṁ janārdanaṁ pranjalaya prachetasaha tadarshanadvasta tamo rajo mala Giragrinan gadgadaya suhritamam evaṁ bruvānaṁ puruṣartha bhajanaṁ janārdanaṁ pranjalaya prachetasaha tadarshanadvasta tamo rajo mala Giragrinan gadgadaya suhritamam Maitreya uvacha Maitreya said evam thus bruvanam speaking purushartha of the ultimate goal of life bhajanam the bestower Jana Ardhanam, who takes away all the disadvantages of a devotee. Pranjalaya, with folded hands. Prachetasa, the Pracheta brothers. Tat, him. Darshana, by seeing. Dvasta, dissipated. Tama, of darkness. Raja, of passion. Malaha, whose contamination. Gira, with a voice. Agrinan, offered prayers. Gadgadaya, faltering. Suhritamam, unto the greatest of all friends. The great sage Maitreya said, after the personality of Godhead thus spoke, the Prachetas began to offer him prayers. The Lord is the bestower of all success in life and is the supreme benefactor. He is also the supreme friend who takes away all miserable conditions experienced by a devotee. In a faltering voice, due to ecstasy, the Prachetas began to offer prayers. They were purified by the presence of the Lord, who was before them face to face. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Lord is herein described as Purusharatha Bhajanam, the bestower of the ultimate goal of life. Whatever success we want in life can be attained by the mercy of the Lord. Since the Prachetas had already attained the Lord's mercy, they were no longer subject to the contamination of the material modes. The material modes dissipated from them just as the darkness of night immediately dissipates when the sun rises. Because the Lord appeared before them, naturally, all the contaminations of the material qualities of Rajas and Tamas completely disappeared. Similarly, when an unalloyed devotee chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he is also purified of all material contamination because the name of the Lord and the Lord are identical. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.17, Srinvata Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Ridyantasto Hyabhidrani Vidhunoti Suhritsatam. Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, Supersoul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. The holy name of the Lord is the Lord himself. If one chants and hears, he becomes purified. Gradually, all material contamination disappears. The Prachetas were already purified due to the Lord's presence before them, and they could therefore offer the proper prayers with folded hands. In other words, as soon as devotees are engaged in devotional service, they become transcendental to all material contamination immediately. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Sagunan Samatityaitan Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. Sometimes the devotees are dissatisfied due to their not seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally. When the Prachetas saw the Supreme Lord personally present, their unhappiness vanished. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistang Stapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brindam Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So how much this verse also pertains to Srila Prabhupada leading up to his arrival to America, how the Lord bestowed all success in life, being his supreme friend, taking away all miserable conditions, and the Prachetas with faltering voice offered prayers to the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada, he's a living example of Bhagavatam. You know, the Bhagavatam has so many stories, so many wonderful pastimes of great personalities, the Prachetas, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj. And Srila Prabhupada's pastimes are really non-different than Srimad Bhagavatam. Just see his Srila Prabhupada's intense desire. He had a successful business, had family, and so many years when he was a young man, his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, instructed him that you should take Lord Chaitanya's message to the West, to America, and preach Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada thought, how is it possible? You know, here I am, entangled, family responsibilities, and plus I have to, you know, be something successful, make enough money, then I can really do something worthwhile in my life. But then, in the stage of his life, he's already left his family, took sannyas, spent so many years meditating on the order of his spiritual master, meditating on the Lord, and endeavored in India to establish League of Nations and in many ways penniless. It's just a sadhu printing books by the, I say, donations of Sumati Murarji. He printed one, first canto Bhagavatam, part one, part two. He just completed part three of Srimad Bhagavatam from contributions, just like all of us. When we joined Srila Prabhupada's mission, we came brahmachari and just surrendered and go on the street like beggars and begging to, but it appears like begging, but actually we're giving the highest treasure, the highest gift, giving people Back to Godhead magazine, giving people Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, transcendental literatures to solve all the problems of their life. So Srila Prabhupada, a wealth of treasure, a storehouse of treasure, that walking Srimad Bhagavatam in person, personified, like Srila Vyasadeva, Krishna himself is speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna himself in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is spreading the chanting of the holy name. Krishna himself empowers his pure devotees. And Srila Prabhupada would offer, often in amazement, read his books, and he would say, these are not my books. These are the words of Krishna. So Krishna is speaking in these transcendental literatures. So Srila Prabhupada once met that Mr. Agarwal. We've heard the story many times, but now is the day to remember. And just in a brief meeting with Mr. Agarwal, he said, I have a desire to spread the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vedic culture, to the Western world. And Mr. Agarwal had a son, Gopal Agarwal, in Butler, Pennsylvania. And in order to satisfy his father, whenever his father requested, you please fill out the necessary forms to sponsor this sadhu to come to America to spread Bhagavad Dharma. And so Gopal, pacifying his father very obediently, he'd get a letter from his job, from his bank, and in many ways perform the duties. And Srila Prabhupada, in just a moment of passing, mentioned that he wanted to carry out the order of his spiritual master and give this message to the Western world. So Mr. Agarwal fulfilled, he contacted Gopal Agarwal, and Srila Prabhupada continued on, and several months later, he was notified that he had no objection from the government. And he thought, how did this happen? I never inquired about this, because Gopal Agarwal filled out this form. So he became somewhat excited that now it's time. It's time to carry out the order of my spiritual master. But still, he had to get a passport, so he got his passport. It was not that difficult. And then he had to get a P form, no objection from the State Bank of India, that you're not a big debtor or there's no crimes against you or whatever. But that was more bureaucratic and took a little longer time. So in the meantime, Srila Prabhupada was pulling everything together, and he went and tried to secure funds, how to go. He was meditating, thinking how to go to America. He was dreaming maybe through Japan or this way or that way. Many people went to England and different places, but he wanted to go to America. His Guru Maharaj wanted him to preach to the Western world, and he felt that if he went there, and sometimes he would actually dream that he was there already in New York. So he went to Srimati Murarji. I remember, I think it was back in the 80s, I went to Mumbai and had lunch a couple of times at Srimati Murarji's house with a friend of mine, Mother Nartaka Gopal. And she was remembering how Prabhupada she would arrange a vehicle, he would come and read from Bhagavatam and explain some of the purports, and this went on for maybe a few weeks. So she was very fortunate, but at the same time, she was very concerned about Prabhupada and his health, that, oh, you are older now. Now is not the appropriate time to stay in Vrindavan. Finish your work of translating Srimad Bhagavatam here in India. No need for you to travel, because it was actually against Hindu customs to travel across the ocean to the land of the Malechas. You know, because the Malechas, because they were meat eaters and committing all kinds of sinful activities. At least there was some culture here. Prabhupada, as a sannyasi, although outwardly a mendicant, he could still meet millionaires or politicians or so-called famous personalities, simply show up as a sadhu, and out of respect, because there's still some Vedic cultural remnant, they would accept and show some honor. But in America, who would understand, who is this person in this saffron cloth, poor beggar, little plastic white shoes, you know, who would actually give any kind of recognition? So Srila Prabhupada met, I think Mr. Choksi was the assistant of Srimati Murarji, and he said that you'd please ask that she can provide some passage. So this Mr. Choksi spoke to Srimati Murarji, and she denied. She said, no, he's too old, no need. A couple of times, and then Prabhupada coached him what to say, how to say it. Oh, I see the Swami is very enthusiastic and very capable, very learned. If he goes to the West, he'll accomplish something very nice. And again, she said, no. So Prabhupada arranged a meeting directly with Srimati Murarji. And with his enthusiasm, his Sankirtan preaching spirit, he convinced Srimati Murarji that, yes, you should provide some passage, because, no, but Prabhupada, she said, but you know what my assistants think? They think that you will die. You're simply old and you will die. And Prabhupada just gave a look of dismissing some, like the father to a daughter who's concerned. No, don't worry. This is not of no concern. So she arranged. But it was taking a long time, and Prabhupada started getting impatient. But she finally arranged with Mr. Arun Pandya and his wife, the captain of Jaladuta, because he was actually very pious. In the Jaladuta, they arranged extra fruits and vegetables, nice cabin, and free passage and food for Srila Prabhupada to go to America because he had no money. So Srila Prabhupada went to Calcutta, went to Mayapur to visit and beg the blessings of his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta at the Gaudiya Math. And when he was in Calcutta, he was also doing programs, preaching programs. While he was waiting for the ship, some of the people noticed that he would be out all day long trying to give his books, Bhagavatam. It was very difficult because people think, you know, I know Krishna. I have so many books, Gita, Bhagavatam. So it's very difficult to preach in your own home or try to give this message. And although he'd be appear at one moment to feel like, oh, it's such an overburden, and then next moment he'd be again enthusiastic, writing, translating. He had unceasing determination and enthusiasm to carry out the order of his Guru Maharaj. So now it's time to board the Jaladuta. His son Vrindavan and a few others are gathered there, and we see the diorama in the Prabhupada Museum, Prabhupada walking up the ramp onto the Jaladuta. So this is all Leela, pastime. We could be reading about this in Srimad Bhagavatam, the struggle that Prabhupada underwent, but the training and the dedication and the years and years of, you know, apparently studying, but being a Nitya Siddha, pure devotee, Prabhupada will reveal his mood and his mind and his intimate relationship with Krishna as it goes. So the first part of the journey, he experienced great difficulty, seasickness. In 2 days, he experienced 2 heart attacks. Very difficult time on that journey. After those heart attacks, he wrote one Bengali poem, and I just wanted to kind of, this is September 13th, Prabhupada noted in his diary, 32nd day of journey. This is towards the end of his journey after the heart attacks. He cooked some khichdi and appeared delicious. He was able to take some food. Today I have disclosed my mind to my companion, Lord Sri Krishna. So Prabhupada was not traveling alone. He had we don't like to do things alone. We like to go with someone, take a little adventure. So Prabhupada was taking the ultimate adventure of coming to broadcast the message of Krishna consciousness to the Malechas and the fallen souls. So this is a Bengali poem, and it was translated, the prayer to Lord Krishna, and was filled with Prabhupada's devotional confidence in the mission he had to undertake on behalf of his spiritual master. So imagine yourself on a ship for the last 30 days, suffering 2 heart attacks, completely sick, all alone, no money, not knowing exactly what to expect. Maybe there's no food. It's all meat eaters there, just meat. I'll have to live on just boiled potatoes or whatever it is. Let me starve. I want to carry out my mission. So it says, I emphatically say to you, O brothers, you will obtain your good fortune from the Supreme Lord Krishna only when Srimati Radharani becomes pleased with you. So Srila Prabhupada is revealing that the secret of success is how to please Srimati Radharani and all the inhabitants of Braj. And he was also one of those inhabitants. Many people take vows never to leave Vrindavan. They wouldn't even go to Mathura because the ultimate goal of life is to leave your body in Vrindavan, as we've seen a few days back, how Radhapati Prabhu left in the association of devotees after performing wonderful devotional service for so many years here in the Dham. But Srila Prabhupada also had that, feeling that maybe I will leave, but the order of my spiritual master and the mission of spreading Krishna consciousness is just so important. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, who is very dear to Lord Gauranga, Lord Chaitanya, the son of Mother Sachi, is unparalleled in his service to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. He is that great saintly spiritual master who bestows intense devotion Just see, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he's such a spiritual master. He gives, he bestows intense devotion to Krishna at different places throughout the world. By his strong desire, the holy name of Lord Gauranga will spread throughout all the countries of the Western world and all the cities, towns, and villages on the earth, from all the oceans, seas, rivers, and streams. Everyone will chant the holy name of Krishna. How is it that such a person in such a so-called beaten down condition, again, very just humbly and just dedicated to his Guru Maharaj and having faith in the holy name, have such a transcendental vision to see the Lord's name being spread throughout the universe? Everyone will chant the holy name of Krishna. So, as the vast mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu conquers all directions, a flood of transcendental ecstasy will certainly cover the land. When all the sinful, miserable living entities become happy, the Vaishnava's desire is then fulfilled. Although my Guru Maharaj ordered me to accomplish this mission, and here he's showing, he says, I am not worthy or fit to do it. I am very fallen and insignificant. Therefore, O Lord, now I am begging for your mercy so that I may become worthy, for you are the wisest and most experienced of all. And the poem ends, today that remembrance of you came to me in a very nice way. Because I have a great longing, I call to you. I am your eternal servant, and therefore I desire your association so much. O Lord Krishna, except for you, there is no one. There's no means of success. So in this straightforward way, he's sharing his mind of his intimate companion, with his intimate companion, Krishna. That he's not just an ordinary person going on an adventure. He has such an intense, clear desire to spread the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and so dedicated and sincere. The Shraddha means faith, but also dedication. That, you know, that otherwise, how can you have faith? He's so dedicated. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada, carrying this message, he had a dream of the Lord rowing a boat in his many incarnations, just like Arjuna saw the Virat Rupa. You know, imagine seeing Krishna and experiencing all his various incarnations. It's not some cheap god who people take without books or without any authoritative scripture or teaching. Srila Prabhupada was not like that. He understood and had the realization of Krishna by the authority of the Vedic literature, by the authority of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. So he saw, and Krishna was calling him, you come with me. It'll be okay. Just like Krishna carries what we lack and preserves what we have. You know, okay, whatever little bit we have, whatever we lack, Krishna provides. Just imagine you're with a multimillionaire and you run a little bit short for something you want to purchase. No problem. Yeah, I'll take care of it. So Krishna is like that. He takes care of everything. Not in a materialistic way, in a spiritual way. So Krishna is taking care of Srila Prabhupada. But it wasn't easy walk in the park. Prabhupada underwent a lot of struggle. A lot of determination. Otherwise, we would think, oh, that was just some, you know, the Lord just gave special mercy. The Pandavas underwent great austerity. Arjuna was so much grief-stricken and so determined to not to fight, just to give it all up and forget about it. And Krishna didn't say, okay, you just sit down on the chariot, relax, I'll take care of everything. But then at the end of his teaching of Bhagavad Gita, he did say that, just be my instrument. I am doing everything. So Krishna tricked him. He is doing everything. Krishna is taking care of everything. But we're just like little puppets, little instruments. We have an opportunity to be, you know, part of Krishna's endeavor in that way. So this Srila Prabhupada was blessed, and Mr. Arun Pandya and his wife, Prabhupada considered his wife to be very learned, very educated, and she told him, if you pass this difficulty, you'll be successful in your mission, very successful. So just see the potency of the Mataji. She's giving blessings. And Prabhupada achieved, of course, enormous success, and it's ever increasing. It's growing by his expansion of his followers, dedicated followers who are spreading this Krishna consciousness movement. So they arrive in Boston Harbor. I think today is the day of Prabhupada's arrival in America. So they stop for some short time in Boston, and Srila Prabhupada was thinking and seeing how gloomy and how the land of billions and millions of people dedicated to sense gratification, dedicated to sense enjoyment, and very eager to maintain that lifestyle, not at all enthusiastic about giving it up to hear something about some mythical... I mean, here's a poor Swami saying, okay, give up your intoxication, give up your illicit sex, give up your gambling, give up your meat eating, and surrender to Krishna. Who is Krishna? Some Hindu god? It's like, they'll just tell me, go back, Swami. You know, we don't want any of this. So that brings us to another poem, or another writing of Srila Prabhupada, because when he arrived there, just at Boston Harbor, he wrote this. I mean, just think about it from yourself. If you can actually come up with these thoughts and feelings, he said, "My dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me, but I guess you have some business here. Otherwise, why would you bring me to this terrible place?" There's this one Bhattacharya. When he was in Calcutta, he had no place to stay, so he called this musician that he knew. His name was Bhattacharya. And so he would take him to different programs and different engagements. And normally he wouldn't speak, but one time coming back from one of the programs, Bhattacharya said, You said this, but I don't agree with that, this and that. And Prabhupada would come back like a lion, very angry. And he goes, I think. What is the use of what you think? You should, it's all based on scripture. It's all based on Vedic conclusion. It's not what I think or what I feel, all me, I. And so here Prabhupada is speaking not to some imaginary little, fantasy of some psychopath or something. Prabhupada is having the darshan, just like the Prachetas had the darshan of Krishna. So Prabhupada is speaking to Krishna that you brought me here, so you can do whatever you like with me. But I guess you have some business here. Otherwise, why would you bring me to this terrible place? So materialists are thinking that this place is wonderful, full of bars, full of, opportunities for sense gratification. This is great. Whereas Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas are seeing it's such a horrible place. Most of the population here is covered by the material modes of ignorance and passion. Absorbed in material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied. And therefore, they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudeva Krishna. I do not know how they will be able to understand it. So Prabhupada thought, there's no hope, there's no chance. But Krishna, it's your business. You brought me here, so I guess you have some purpose for doing that. But I know that your causeless mercy can make everything possible. Because you're the most expert mystic. This is the faith devotee has. That Krishna, you can do anything. You can pull an elephant through the eye of a needle. No problem. You can do whatever may seem unimaginable to most people. That you can achieve. You're the most expert mystic. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service? Just see the depth and mellows of devotional service. How would such gross people, absorbed in ignorance, understand the mellows? Oh Lord, I am simply praying for your mercy so that I will be able to convince them about your message. So we have no power of our own. We have to pray to the Lord. We have to pray to the Vaishnava. Please give me your blessings. I saw Mother Devi Shakti walking. I said, so please give me your blessings. So this is, blessings of Vaishnavas are very valuable. Because they're actually, Vaishnava means a representative of the Lord. And one cannot represent the Lord unless he actually has accepted the Lord himself fully. All living entities have come under the control of the illusory energy by your will. And therefore, if you like, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. So Krishna allowed us to come to this material world to try to enjoy our fantasies and so-called, what we think will make us happy. But again, by his will, we can become free from that illusion. I wish that you may deliver them. Again, Lord Jesus said, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. Vasudeva Datta said, please let me suffer, but give them freedom. Free the conditioned souls. So this Karunika, this mercy, is a very wonderfully manifested characteristic of Srila Prabhupada. So if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I am very unfortunate, unqualified, and the most fallen. Therefore, I am seeking your benediction so that I can convince them. For I am powerless to do so on my own. Somehow or other, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or failure as you like. See, Prabhupada was not defeated when he would go on the street giving people an opportunity to take the message of Godhead, take the message back to Godhead. And even though people were so unenthused to accept this message of the Vedic literature, he did not give up his determination because he understood that the success or failure, this is Krishna's business. My duty is to make the attempt, to put forward the enthusiasm. O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message. So if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. And what do you think? Did Prabhupada do that? I mean, it's just by reading Prabhupada's Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, it's just so, you can relate to it so easily, whereas other literatures, what's he trying to say? It's all riddles and puzzles and very mystical. Oh, this is very deep. It's so deep that I don't understand a word of it. But Prabhupada is speaking the highest philosophy, but delivering it in such a digestible way, such a way that we can actually assimilate a little bit and hopefully make advancement. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I am sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel gladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. O Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hands. So if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance. Make me dance, O Lord. Make me dance as you like. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have a strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I have been designated Bhaktivedanta, and now, if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta. And how does Srila Prabhupada sign this? The most unfortunate, insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, on board the ship Jaladuta. It's not like Prabhupada had hundreds and thousands of followers and temples established everywhere and, you know, great success. That gives you confidence when you, sometimes you're a little bit uneasy about doing things. But once you have some success, even in business, we have some businessmen here, I'm sure. In business, once you put forward an endeavor and then you see some success, then your confidence builds and you feel like, I can really do this now. Prabhupada just arrived. He just experienced such great health issues, heart attacks and sickness and so many stumbling blocks. But by the blessing, by the mercy of the Lord, Krishna is giving him confidence, giving him inspiration, and taking away all the miserable conditions of his life. And even after he arrived, like many, many tourists come to New York. There's like 52 million tourists a year coming to visit New York. They want to see the Empire State Building, and they want to see the Statue of Liberty, you know, take the boat ride and take, you know, see the skyline, very, very big, most important city in America, New York. And Prabhupada was not an ordinary tourist. And sometimes Bhattacharya would joke with him, "Oh, why you want to go to America anyway? You probably just want to enjoy the sights." But Prabhupada said, "Oh, I'm just an old man. I have a duty, obligation to my spiritual master." So he felt, just like Gopal Agarwal felt duty bound to his father who was requesting him. So he did that. And when Prabhupada got off the boat, he didn't know literally whether to turn left or right. Here he is with a little suitcase, umbrella, little plastic white pointed shoes, and some traveler's aid people came to greet him, and they brought him to the Scindia Steamship Company to book his return trip ticket to. He had a 3-month visa when he arrived in America. They stamped the 3-month visa, you can stay. So he thought maybe, you know, a few months. So he said, "Reserve a place on the boat for me in a couple of months. I'll be in touch." So in this way, Prabhupada was thinking that I can do whatever the Lord allows me to do, whatever he does. But in his mind, he was thinking, possibly they'll not accept anything. And after some time, I have to go back. So in this way, Prabhupada arrived to the Western world, planted the transcendental seeds of devotion in the hearts of those few, very Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. You know, we're all wandering throughout the universe, sometimes in big demigod bodies, wealthy king, dog, pig, tree. Many bodies we've experienced, so many lifetimes, life after life after life. And someone who's Bhagavan, who's very fortunate, he gets the mercy of Krishna and Guru. So Prabhupada, as the representative of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the six Goswamis, feeling great separation from Sri Vrindavan Dham, his lords, Govinda, Gopinath, Sri Sri Radha Damodar, he was feeling great separation. But in order to fulfill the orders of his Guru Maharaj and carry out the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he underwent the tapasya, the sacrifice, the austerity. And he planted these seeds of devotion, and a few sprouts happened here and there. You ever see that? You know, you ever put the popcorn in the pan? Let it heat up, pop, pop, then pop, 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 pop. So you see from a few, so many hundreds and then thousands and tens of thousands and millions. Now you see how this Krishna consciousness is spreading by the desire of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, and how the Sankirtan devotees would work very hard, sometimes go to jail, sometimes struggle in the cold. I remember my first Sankirtan tour in the van. It was in 1976. Tatpadarsha and I took the van from Miami. We went all across the United States, and we were in Chicago. It was around the winter time,
sleeping in the van, taking the jug bath, ice cold water. So these are some austerities that we have to perform, because this is recommended in Bhagavad Gita that one should never give up tapasya and also charity. Many obligations are there for us, and Prabhupada performed the tapasya, showed the example. It's not like a teacher says, do as I say, but do as I do. He set by his example. Isn't it that someone who's a genuine teacher, he will do and show you. He'll take your hand and show you how to do that. So we should also take on the struggle, inconvenience, and have that same kind of, or at least try to imitate to some degree, the faith and determination that Srila Prabhupada had for carrying out his duty and obligation for Srila, for his, it's like an obligation. You have a debt. I'm indebted to you. One cannot pay back the debt that of the mercy the guru has given him. We become such debtors that we're in debt for life, spiritually. So we always remain as a humble servant of our Guru Maharaj. Not that, oh, now I have excelled my guru. You know, this is sometimes some low-class people think that, oh, now I am much more learned and much more advanced than my guru. I don't need him anymore. We're always consider ourselves fools, rascals, and very insignificant. And by this humility and by this this mindset, then we can actually make proper advancement and have proper understanding of tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevai upadekshyanti te jnanam jnanas tatpadarshana. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively. Render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. So Prabhupada has seen the truth. He's delivering the truth. He's making us all very fortunate, and we should follow in his footsteps by also carrying out this message of preaching Krishna consciousness very enthusiastically. Srila Prabhupada's arrival, spreading the whole message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu throughout the world. Ki! Yeah. So this verse was very appropriate. The Lord blessed the Prachetas. They had personal darshan. And the Srinvata, Svakata, Krishna, Punya, Shravana, Kirtana, we have to constantly hear and chant, because if we're not hearing about Krishna, Srimati Radharani, when Krishna sees Srimati Radharani, he becomes enlivened, he becomes more beautiful. And then when Srimati Radharani sees Krishna, she becomes enlivened and she becomes even more beautiful. And again, vice versa, so the activities in the spiritual world are unlimited, all expanding. So every day when we see the beautiful forms of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, Krishna Balaram, Radha Shama Sundalita Vishaka, and the glowing effulgence of the devotees, that should enliven us and gladden us. And by this, we're actually experiencing a higher taste, a spiritual taste. Parang drishtva nivartate. That without experiencing the higher taste of Krishna consciousness, then we'll resort to the lower taste of bodily consciousness and mental activities of this material world. Thank you very much. Anyone have any questions, comments? Yes, Prabhuji. I don't know if it's on or not. Oh, okay.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, it's on.
At one point you mentioned sell the guru.
I mentioned what?
You mentioned sell the guru, sell the spiritual master.
Sell?
Sell. That's what I heard, so I'm just asking.
Sell the spiritual master?
I don't recall selling the spiritual master. Okay.
Okay, it's my fault. I just wanted to know what you meant by that.
No. No, we never sell the spiritual master. We keep him forever.
Okay.
He's not for sale.
I think it was when you were talking about the spiritual master is not cheap.
He's not cheap. He's very valuable, but he's still not for sale. Maybe I said something in that relation, but
my question has got about three parts. One being, you know, when Prabhupada was instructed by spiritual master to go to the West, despite the fact that one is not supposed to be crossing the oceans, what was the moving factor which influenced the spiritual master to ask Prabhupada to go to the West? Secondly, despite the fact that, you know, Prabhupada is a pure devotee of the Lord, why was not he able to turn around the swing in his favor before he went to the West in terms of propagating the names of Krishna to the people in India? And thirdly, when he reached the West, you know, what was one thing, you know, which really influenced, you people in terms of being keen to abide by whatever he said? And lastly, why was it America that was told, and why was not England or other European English-speaking countries?
So it's a many-layered question here. Why is it that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati asked Srila Prabhupada to preach to the West, and why is that Srila Prabhupada attempted to preach in India? Oh, why he was not successful in India? Well, this is like in the Leela of Srimad Bhagavatam, we sometimes see so many intricacies. If you read Mahabharata, you know, well, why is it this happened to the Pandavas? Why this happened to Arjuna? And how is it they were banished? And how is it that... So many questions may be there, but by the desire of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur praying for a ray of Vishnu, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta appeared. And also it was predicted by Bhaktivinoda Thakur that someone would spread this message throughout the world, all over the world. And in this way, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, knowing the desire of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he immediately saw that, you know, you're intelligent young men, you speak, you know, English, you should spread, you are qualified to spread this mission to the West. Even not knowing for a long time, a guru could immediately understand simply by seeing and empowering. So Srila Prabhupada felt the immediate responsibility, but it took some time to show by example that the determination has to be there. And although apparently he did not have success in India, it forced him to carry out the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to go. Okay, he had the realization, understanding that America's ripe. It's full of hippies who are tired of the war, who are tired of the so-called opulent lifestyle of their fathers and mothers. You know, they might have they have everything. They have the Mercedes-Benz and Rolls-Royces. They have big bank accounts, big houses, flying here, flying there. But they're hippies because they're unhappy. And Prabhupada knew that I should go to this place because they will be most receptive. And if they take to this, because they're at the time they were considered the most influential and powerful nation. So if they take the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we will bring it back from there to here. So it was all a master plan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and Srila Prabhupada was the puppet and instrument of Krishna to fulfill that desire. And so all of us are fortunate enough to be able to chant or try to chant the holy name of the Lord, be fortunate enough to hear the words of the pure devotee, be fortunate enough to have hold Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and sit in the association of other devotees, Vaishnavas, in the most holy place of Sri Vrindavan Dham. So
in one sense, it's almost like a dream, a fantasy. How is it such a degraded personality? Like you said, what it sparked us? Because we saw there's no happiness in this world, and what Prabhupada was giving was so, how you say, so attractive and so much more relishable that if it does exist, let me at least try. So we're all trying, putting forward our little bit of an endeavor to take up this process of bhakti yoga, Krishna consciousness, hoping to receive a few drops of mercy from Srila Prabhupada. So now we can have kirtan. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.